This is CliffCentral.com. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brendan the Q, the good things guy, and right next to me is my partner in crime, in the good news crime, Kerry Stein.
Good morning.
I made a little rhyme with your surname there.
I know.
Crime Stein.
It's so beautiful, but we don't do crime.
And we don't do Stein. It's actually Stein, right?
No, it's Stein.
I want to do Stein. Can we call you Stein?
Just for today.
Okay. Kerry Stein. No, it's Stein. I'm kidding. This is terrible. How's it going, Kerry?
Good.
Welcome back to the show. We love Tuesdays because we get to hang out with all of you guys in studio and remind you that there's still so many good things in the world and South Africa right now. So inspired, so proudly South African, so much of good news. If it sounds like there's a bit of an echo, it's just because we've got new microphones over here. We're testing them out. If it gets a bit loud, it's also because of the new microphones. Don't worry about it. It's not your connection. It's just us. I feel like I've got the headphones on and it sounds like we're in the bathroom.
It does sound like we're in the bathroom, and it's so sensitive.
This is also radio, so we could pretend to be in the bathroom, and no one would know.
With our portable microphones.
Portable microphones.
Coming to you from the loo.
So Kerry and I are coming to you live from Cliff Central's bathrooms today. We're going to be singing in the shower. It's the karaoke show.
The karaoke show.
Oh, too much jokes here. So we're kidding about that. We're going to bring you all the good news that you should know about today. Kerry and I get to catch up, bring you the only good news chart show in South Africa. And then also Stembiso joins us to chat about Stembiso and Ref.
Yes.
His name's Refilwe.
Refilwe, but we can call him Ref.
Because I'm white and I bastardize names. And I don't bastardize African names. I bastardize most
all
names. I mean, Kerry's name is Kerry Stein. Stein.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even say it. I'm just going to give up. Actually,
Stein like the wine.
That's the good stuff for today. I'm going to switch off the radio and it's done.
Go home.
No, I'm joking. So Kerry and I will bring you the only good news chart show in South Africa. And then Stembiso and Ref join us to chat about an app that they're involved in that connects people who love cooking to supply customers. Like Uber for people who love cooking. It's like Uber.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Since I've been on My Kitchen Rules, I've now become the Cliff Central head celebrity chef. So any of the guests who want to speak about cooking or want to speak about the things that they're doing, they're going to come to the good stuff.
You know what? Cooking has become such a big thing now.
Wasn't it before as well, though?
It was. But I think it's taken on a whole new level because I think this day and age, everyone is more health conscious. So
this is also true.
Yes, they know exactly what's in there. I mean, there are supermarkets now that you can go to and they tell you exactly what your animals have eaten.
Yeah. Your meat. It's also, if you think about, I mean, years and years and years ago, you wouldn't have walked into the vegetable aisle and found like cauliflower rice.
Exactly. Or, these are like...
Yeah, people are more health conscious, and we tend to play more with our food. It's stuff that you can.
It's becoming experimental, but it's healthy.
Well, today, for prime example, now that I'm the in-house celebrity chef, you're the sous chef.
I'm the sous chef.
You're the sous chef on the show. One of the head of productions took me aside and was like, "Brent, listen. I've changed my diet and I'm trying to be healthier. You know, summer bodies are built in spring. Actually, it's winter, but we have to build them in spring."
Well, so, in my case...
summer bodies.
No, there's no summer body here.
No, come on,
kid. I ate all the winter. The whole season.
All winter, it was mine. I ate it, it's gone.
It's gone.
one of the heads of production came to me and said, "Listen, we are changing our diets and I want to be healthier and summer's around the corner. So I've given up carbs. What do I substitute instead of carbs? Like, what do I do to substitute that?"
Mm.
And I said to her, "I don't believe that carbs are the problem. I'll tell you why. I eat a lot of carbs. I eat potatoes. I have potatoes every day.
Starch.
I love potatoes. Mm. I love potatoes.
It's a staple in most people's diets.
Correct. Mm. If there's a bit of rice, if you're going to do like, oh, lekker prawns with some rice.
Love rice.
You know what I mean? Mm. I think couscous is amazing.
It is.
It's amazing.
And quinoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or risotto.
Yes.
There's like really good carbs.
Yeah.
That what we could consider as carbs. Mm-hmm. My problem is not carbs. My problem, and I think it's a huge challenge day to day, is the amount of refined processed foods we eat.
Exactly.
I think that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So here's the reality, right? Bread is not bad. Like if you eat fresh bread and you don't have bread every day,
yeah.
It's not bad. It's good. And a nice piece of fresh bread is out
amazing.
Of this world. Whether it's a rolicky or like a nice baked loaf, whatever.
With butter.
But the problem comes when you're eating processed breads that are manufactured, mass manufactured.
True.
The amount of flour that goes into a slice of bread is absurd.
It's
absolutely absurd. And as a society, as a global society, bread has become a staple, is a staple. If you think, when I was at school, I had bread every day.
It's true. And also because it's obviously there are government regulated pricing for it as well because it is a staple.
So my top trick, if you want to shed a bit of weight and you want to just, you know, get ready for summer, cut out the bread for a bit. Don't eat bread every day.
Yeah.
You know, in the morning, no toast.
Mm-hmm.
Skip the toast.
Well, if you want to do toast, then do rye.
No bread. No bread. Save your bread for like a Saturday or Sunday
Like a treat.
Like a treat.
Okay.
Nice treat. You don't need to have bread. You can substitute bread with a wrap. Instead of if you're feeling like you need a bit of starch or carbs or whatever,
energy.
Potato.
Yeah.
Pasta.
Yeah.
There's other options. I just feel that we just, the way that society has become, and the way that the globe is, bread is your go-to. If you go into a store to go get lunch quickly, your first go-to is like a sandwich. Take the salad.
Yeah, you're quite right.
Just like for a little bit. And I promise you, you'll shed a couple of kilos quite quickly.
And stores are becoming more convenient in that sense as well. So there's more variety.
No, 1,000,000%. So that's my piece of advice. I'll just put a sort of terms and conditions here. I'm not Tim Noakes or any other dietitian. I've never studied any of that. It's just what works for my body.
Yeah.
And it might be different for different people. But if I want to shed a few pounds, I'll just stop the bread for a couple of weeks. And it literally, not even a couple of weeks. When I say a couple of weeks, 2 weeks. And I lose a K or two.
Bread and sugar. There's a lot of sugar in bread.
So I don't eat sugar.
Yeah.
I gave up sugar. Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Don't even want to talk about it.
No, drink a Coke Zero instead. And some people might be hating on me now, going, no, well, aspartamine and blah, blah, blah. Here's the point. Cut out the sugar.
Okay, go with Coke Stevia.
That's that new one, right?
Yeah,
Coke Life,
one.
The green one. Yeah. It's quite yummy, actually.
I haven't tasted it.
I like him. Anyway, we've completely gone off on a tangent for 10 minutes. If you want to get involved with the conversation, you can tweet us, cliffcentral.com, Brendan Legu, Kerry Stein, like the wine, or any of our other Twitter handles. We're going to have guests in here a little bit. When they drop those handles, you can tweet them, or you can send us a message via our official WeChat accounts, or give us a call on 0861-555-189. You can also WhatsApp us. What's the number, Kerry?
079-748-2090.
So that little, if you were listening through headphones, you might have heard that her voice sort of did this a little bit, that you couldn't really hear what she was saying. It's because she had to stretch her neck over to actually see the number.
Because you know I'm clever. You told me last week that you were going to take all the numbers away.
And now you've hidden a number somewhere. Yeah, you do listen. It's very funny.
So I went in and I was like, I'm going to find it.
Yeah, man.
I can save it there.
You know, she's clever. This is the good stuff. So every week we do a little bit of a catch up where we talk about what's relevant, what's happening. And I think the biggest thing that's happened in the country over the past week is these hectic, crazy storms.
Definitely.
I've seen a couple of people tweeting going, global warming and Mother Nature's angry. But that's a bit extreme.
It is.
That escalated quickly.
Oh, well, end of the world.
I just feel, I feel like maybe I didn't realize the weather was so bad because I was so young, like younger. But I don't remember ever like facing hailstorms where you have to park your car under a bridge to avoid them.
These are natural disasters. As I mean, they are. They're natural disasters like we've never experienced them.
Well, Cradlestone Mall and the Roodepoort area, there are parts of the Roodepoort area that have been classified as a disaster area.
And because of a tornado, really, a tornado.
Was it really a tornado?
Yes, there's footage of it, of the actual tornado.
Have we ever had a tornado in Joburg, Gauteng, South Africa,
little
ever?
Little ones, little freak ones, but not like that. You actually see the connection. You see the actual clouds and the tornado from ground to sky. It's very scary.
So I've seen the movie Twister.
It's like that.
I liked that when I was younger. I love Twister.
Well, that's exactly what happened in the West Rand.
Do I need to build a shelter?
A bunker.
Like
under your house.
A bunker, and you fill it with
an attic.
No, you don't want to go in an attic. That's up.
Up. I mean,
you want to go down.
What do you call those?
A bunker.
A
cellar. A cellar.
It's a
cellar.
Okay,
it's a cellar. So I'm going to build a bunker and fill it with bully beef.
Oh. Don't you remember the time we actually went through that? Where everyone was like, oh my word, this whole thing is going to...
That was called Y2K. That was...
Yes.
If we go back in 1999, for all the millennials who are like, what is 1999? What is Y2K? Yeah. I don't understand. So in 1999, the year of... It actually started in about 98,
true.
I would think.
Yes.
So in...
Getting us ready.
The whole of 1998 and 1999, people were sort of... speculating
it's
that
the end of the world as we know it.
Did I not tell you that we're in the bathroom at Cliff Central and we're going to do some shower singing? People were speculating that it was going to end.
Yeah.
And the reasoning behind it, I mean, there has been many times in our lives that this has happened, and there will be many times in our lives that it'll come again.
Mm.
But in this instance, it was because the clocks, the computers, our wristwatches, the calendars, everything had to shift from 1999 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief was, it was called Y2K. I don't even know what that stands for. 2000, obviously, but not Y. Year 2000, maybe. Y2K, and the belief was around this, that the computers would not be able to turn over from 1999 to 2000.
Well, anything for that matter.
Anything. Mm. I don't know why that was a thing. Like, it had worked perfectly from 1989 to 1990. Like, everything ticked over fine. But this big 2000 was a big thing, a big mission. Like, it's a little bit crazy. So the banks, the finance people, the DSTV, everybody was like, we need to hire very clever IT technology guys, the IT department specialist people, and they need to fix our computers so that they'll be able to tick over. And they need to make sure that it is able to tick over. And again, I'm not a genius on this, and I'm just going from memory here.
Mm.
Memory granted, in 1999, I was 14.
Yeah, no, we weren't. We were 15.
Well, close.
Yeah.
I'm a year younger.
I know, but still.
So 14. And trying to work with that, you know, all the stuff was happening. And then people were buying bully beef and water.
And tin food.
And tin food, because like they were worried that the shops would not be able to get to 2000, which means that you wouldn't be able to buy stuff and you wouldn't be able to draw money from the bank. It's like people were...
Everybody was drawing their money, buying stock, food, and oh no, it was terrible.
Yeah. My brother actually worked in one of the big banks, and his job was to sort out the computers. Like, that's what his job was. I don't know if they actually needed him there. Like, he's a great guy and he does a great job.
But my brother is a great guy.
He's a great guy. But I think that the purpose of it was not real. So, like, they created a job for all these people. Maybe I'm wrong. Text me. Tweet me. Let me know. I can recall when the clock was striking midnight on New Year's and we were going to the year 2000. I was down in Cape Town.
I was working.
Were you working?
Yeah.
Where were you working?
Monte Cassino.
What were you doing?
I was a waitress.
Like, for the whole of Monte Cassino?
For Maestro, M&A. So I was working, and Monte Cassino...
Where is that?
Monte Cassino...
No, they've closed down. There's no Maestro.
It is still there, but it's called something else now. It's next to Scoob's. I'm not Scoob's.
It is.
Not Scoob's, the bookshop.
It's across from...
No, the bookstore.
Scoobs. Scoobs is the bookstore.
No, Scoobs is that... Sins, yeah, Scoobs. Scoobs is the bookstore. Sins is that other one.
Yes. Yeah. So now that we've promoted every shop in Monty... You worked across from there, and you were working on New Year's Eve?
Monte Cassino was packed because that's the year that they opened.
But that's cuck for New Year's Eve to be working. I know people have amazing. To do it. Was it a big jaw?
Yeah, it was, because you were right there in the middle of everything that was happening. And
were you worried that the world was going to end?
No.
You weren't?
No.
You weren't worried that, like, Monte Cassino, the lights were going to go off not because the but clocks there were. Could not I mean, tick
there
over.
There was that anticipation and waiting for it.
That, you know, if I was a little bit older and a little bit more aware, I'm sure it was the biggest party because everybody was like, the lights didn't go off.
Yeah, we made it. We're alive.
We survived. No, man, I was down in Cape Town with my dad, and him and all of his friends, they didn't really care about this clock ticking over or whatever. And we were all, we went down to sort of the beach area to go and drink champagne, grape tazer, and celebrate a new year.
Yeah. It was normal for me. I didn't feel any different.
I don't know how we got into this conversation, but about building the, yes. So we need to build our own bunkers now from tornadoes.
Yes.
From tornadoes.
Tornadoes.
17 years after the year 2000 ticked over, tornadoes. And now we're worried
and
about
now
tornadoes.
We're having tornadoes and monsoons. Are you joking?
Well, it's floods.
Yeah.
Snow.
Yep.
At the same time, in one country, where our country is not that big.
No.
It's not a big country. Mm-mm. But in one country, we've got flooding, snow,
yes,
heat waves, and drought.
And hail.
And hail.
Hail the size of tennis balls.
I've never. My insurance company sent me an SMS for when these big storms are coming. And it says, find shelter for you and your vehicle.
Yeah.
And unplug all your things at home. Because not only do we have hail the size of tennis balls, but we also have lightning. Like, Joburg has got hectic lightning.
And some people passed away this last week from...
From the storms.
From lightning. They got struck by lightning.
Well, I'm really... Our hearts go out to anybody that was affected by this. We're talking about the bunkers and we're being funny, but we don't take it lightly. It's a serious thing, and we hope. I know there's a lot of different companies that are putting things together to give people relief from all of these... Is it disasters?
They were classified as disasters. And I know a lot of people came together last week when all of that stuff was happening in the West Rand. And they, I mean, I know of some people that fed 94 people that evening. They actually cooked the entire day, fed 94 people. And it was amazing how the communities came together just to support one another.
Can't remember who it was. Was it Fred Astaire? I feel like I'm going way back here. But I'll find out who this is and I'll tweet it. He said that in times, and I'm gonna completely bastardize his quote, but he said in times of tragedy, don't focus on the sadness. Look for the helpers. There's always people helping. The helpers will always be there. In times of tragedy, they will be there and they will be helping those in need.
I love that.
And I think that's... Through these times of crisis and through the sadness and through all of these stories that we're seeing on our news and sort of online, we need to remember that there will always be helpers.
Yes.
And those helpers we need to be thankful for. And with that said, we're going to move into our top five trending good news stories of the week. We do it every week. We bring you what we feel is stuff that you should be speaking about. And it's stuff that we can celebrate during these times. I mean, every day there's something different. Mm. And Kerry's going to start us off with number five.
Where's my music, Brent?
There's
no music in the bathroom.
So since we're in the bathroom at Cliff Central today, we're going to go with this. There's no plugs. So
no.
I couldn't bring my laptop, so I couldn't plug anything in. It's just
That's
you and
okay.
me.
Okay. Will you sing? At number five, we have...
That must be well annoying if you're listening to me in the background. I'm sorry about that. Mom, I'm sorry. Kerry, go.
Sorry, Mom.
Top five and number five.
Incredible aerial footage of two whales mating off the coast of Cape Town. Timbukutu Travel have captured this incredible...
What they're called?
Timbukutu.
I just want you to say that again to hear if you're going to bastardize it.
Wow. Timbukutu. How do you say it? Timkuti. Timkutu. Timkutu, that's it. Timkutu, yes. Timbukutu. Timbukutu.
It's Timbukutu Travel.
Timbukutu Travel have captured this incredible aerial footage of two whales mating off the coast of Cape Town.
Yeah, man. It's really crazy because I guess... I don't see that. No, but you don't. But in the back of my mind, I'm trying to understand what they were doing during that time. Like, were they sitting on their deck enjoying a glass of wine while looking at the sea? And then they went, oh, that looks like two whales mating. Quick, get the drone. Send, like, what do you think happened?
No, you know what? When, and I mean, I've got a lot of friends and you also have this technology, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You, I know people that walk on the beach. And while they're walking, the drone is traveling behind them in the sky.
Yeah, it's cool.
Taking aerial footage. So you could be on your patio or.
But on the beach. In my mind, I imagine that they were there, like having a cup of tea, if it was the morning, or it's Cape Town. They could have been having a glass of wine at 10. People do that. But they were sort of sitting there on their patio, and then someone went, hey, there's whales mating. Quick.
Or it could have just been. Pure fluk, South African style, that the drone was up in the sky.
Yeah, they were like, la 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 la. Ah! Whales! Look at the whales! They're super close to the shore, which, from what I understand, is not normal for whales to be mating so close to the shore. Whale sightings are pretty big this time of year. I mean, the whales come down here in June and they stay till about November. And it is mating season, so tick the box, tick the box, tick the box. But because it's so close to the shore, it's a bit different.
Yes.
And it's really cool to get that on camera. Like, National Geographic pay people to get stuff like that on camera. And these it's people true. Were just flying a drone and they got this on camera. And it's pretty amazing footage, I must say so myself.
I think it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. We're gonna
Don't you love technology?
We love technology. Hashtag, we're going to post that online so that you can see it. Kerry, without the music and the background, what do we have at number four?
Okay, so this is Cape Town Haiki Goes Viral.
Again, I wish there were cameras in this bathroom because Kerry just looked at me and she was like, what? What's a haiki?
It's a hole.
No, well, yes, actually. But in this sense, so in Afrikaans, a haiki would be a hole. But it's a, I'm making this up now, but it's a word that's been derived from the guard, the taxi guard. So yes. it's a garki, a haiki, yeah, a garki. I can't say it. But basically, we don't have them in Joburg. In Cape Town, they've got an employee on the taxi. So you have the driver. And then this Cape Town door guard yes. is there at the main door in the taxi. And he sort of lets people know where the taxi's going, gives them the indication of where the taxi's going. And he also collects the money for the taxi driver. And he's, you know, he's quite festive. So he screams. He's like, going to CBD. Like, he's quite festive.
He's like the PA.
And when they drive...
The system and the actual
function. When they drive on the roads, the doors are open and these guys are like half hanging in and out, screaming at people, come on, get on, we're going... So it's quite like crazy. And this guy's gone viral because they got stuck in traffic. He jumped out of his car and he was doing like a little dance.
Oh yeah, in the middle of the traffic.
In the middle of the traffic.
Entertaining the passengers and the rest of the traffic.
Yeah. And then he didn't do it once. He was caught for like 2 weeks. There's like 30 videos of this guy just all around town.
I think that's amazing though, because if you compare taxi drivers in Cape Town and taxi drivers in Joburg, yeah, I think it would add a little bit of a little bit more smiles in Joburg if we had something like that in the traffic.
Yeah, you know, traffic is not nice for anyone. Being stuck in traffic is not fun. And I always say, if you're in traffic, you need to remember that you're not stuck in traffic. You are the traffic.
Exactly.
You're part of the traffic.
We were actually talking about this the other day. Podcast in the traffic.
Should we do a podcast in the traffic?
We should do a podcast in the traffic, but I think more people should listen to podcasts in the traffic.
Ah, it's a good time, actually.
Yes.
I've got my playlists that I set up to catch up on all the podcasts that I want to listen to. And the time that I listen to them is in the car.
Exactly.
It's in the car. I plug my phone in. My phone's got this new awesome setting for when I'm driving.
Yeah.
So you can't touch your phone at all because it doesn't work.
Mm.
It connects to the Bluetooth in my car. And as soon as it connects to the Bluetooth, I can push play on my system to play the podcast.
Yeah.
But I can't do anything else with the phone. I can phone someone, but yeah. I can't do it from the phone. But I have to do it from the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And that's really cool because then I just don't, you know, I'm not sitting on Facebook or on Twitter or messaging. I'm actually...
You really shouldn't be doing
I'm focusing on the road. But a lot... Next time, if you're listening to this while driving, look around. Just look around.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on their phones.
Everyone's looking down.
It's so scary.
I know.
It's so scary. So I don't do that any longer. And if someone texts me while I'm driving, it sends them a message going, hey, I don't text while driving. Thank you for contacting me. I'll get back to you as soon as I get to where I'm going. This notification won't even come through until I've stopped.
What?
It's the new iPhone software.
Really?
It's do not disturb while driving.
Oh, I need to upgrade.
That's very cool. So I focus on my podcasts, sort of get to where I need to go, and I get there safely. And it's cool. I think it's cool.
That's really awesome.
Anyway, completely off point. We're going to put that story up online so that you can see what we're talking about with the Cape Town Harkie. What do we have at number three?
Dove, it's not enough to boycott the company. We need to educate.
Sure. What a week for the soap company.
Dove is facing heat for a body wash ad showing a black woman taking off her shirt to reveal a white woman, with many social media users calling it racist.
It's tough. So here's why I think it's wrong. Because it takes 40 people, 20 people, 30 people, choose the number, to sign an actual creative campaign off. It's not one person. Mm. There are so many people involved in the process. And there's people that are from the agency and from Dove and from all sorts of things. They let this slip. And why this is big is because it's not South African. So as much as South Africans are weighing in on the conversation, it's from America. And Americans got upset. Americans got upset.
Gone all over the place.
And then the Globe got upset. And then there's some people who are going, it's not wrong. And there's some people going, it's not right. And I can't weigh in on the conversation because I'm not a person of color and I'm not a woman. So I don't have an opinion. Actually, I can't. I think it's wrong. I do think it's wrong. But my opinion doesn't matter. And someone that taught me that is a freelance journalist from Cape Town, Shelley Finch. Shelley, I mean, I was watching her all over South Africa's social media, just going, if you're not a woman of color and you're trying to tell someone else how to feel, then you're in the wrong.
Exactly.
You can't tell someone they can't be upset by something like this why? Because you're a white man. That doesn't work.
I think, you know what, everyone's had their opinions on this whole situation. And earlier we were told that we should actually be boycotting Dove because they test their stuff on animals.
So, I mean, we need to research that. We're putting it out there. There's a whole bunch of reasons to be upset with advertising. There was a woman who went on a rant as well about the fact that we should be upset, not because it's color, but because they only use pretty people on their posters or whatever. So advertising is advertising.
Yeah.
It has been around for years and it will be around for years and they'll continue doing what they're doing. I think what's important here, there's a lot of people that are boycotting the product. So like they're tweeting pictures of them pouring their Dove down the drain or throwing it in the bin. I don't buy Dove. This is not this campaign and this talk that we're doing right now is not sponsored by Dove. The reality is it's not enough to boycott a product. We need to educate ourselves, each other, and even them.
Mm.
We need to be speaking about why things upset us. And if it's upset you, then speak about it. Because, you know, you have that right to have an opinion. And if it's wrong, and you believe it's wrong, then it is wrong. Because that's your belief and that's your opinion. And I, as a white guy, I might not have... I don't have the authority to tell someone else how to feel.
Yeah.
But for my opinion and the way that I see the ad, it was wrong.
It is wrong.
They didn't do it right.
But it's the same with all advertising. Just stay away from politics, stay away from religion, stay away from race.
So there was an interesting thing brought up that perhaps...
Back to the basics.
But there's an interesting thing that some people have brought up going, this was planned. This was planned. This gives Dove talkability. It makes them relevant.
Yeah.
It makes people go, ah, it's so wrong, it's so wrong, it's so wrong. And then what's going to happen next? They're going to hit back with a secondary ad where they make everything better.
Yeah.
So you don't know. We could be being played.
Sometimes advertising can be so fickle.
How aggressive, how angry, how terrible. We're going to move on from that because we're trying to find the good news. Yeah, the good news is to educate each other and ourselves and to talk about our problems so that we can deal with them.
And we all bleed the same.
We do.
Yes.
That was cliche as hell, but we do.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. We're going to put that story up online. What do we have in number two?
War on plastic. South African supermarkets are ditching the bags.
They're ditching the bags.
This week, Hilton Quarry, yes. Super Spa joined other supermarkets against the plastic bag fight and confirmed it had ditched plastic in favor of other options.
How cool.
I think it's amazing.
So I had to walk. I mean, I didn't have to. I did it as part of a thing that I was doing. But we walked 25 kilometers of beach.
Yes.
2 weeks ago. And we cleaned up 25 kilometers of beach. The beach didn't have people on it. It wasn't a very visited beach.
That is far.
It's the stuff that washed up on the beach. In the first 10 kilometers, we'd already collected 100 kilograms of plastic and waste.
That is disgusting.
It was stuff that had been washed up, Kerry. It's not people sitting there leaving. I mean, some of the plastic bottles that we'd picked up could have come from England or Mexico or China. It's in the sea. Like, the sea's all connected. It's not people sitting on Camps Bay. It could have been as well. But the point is that plastic is cuck. And it lands up everywhere. And generally, if it's going into our oceans, it's killing our marine life.
Yes.
Birds, dolphins, those whales that were mating. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we'll be able to deal with it. Education.
It's very, very sad. And I was actually watching a video the other day of these environmentalists that were pulling out a plastic bag out of a turtle. A sea turtle. And it took them forever.
Don't get into detail. You're going to make me cry.
No, it's terrible. And this whole thing with plastic bags, I buy plastic bags. Okay, so when I go shopping, I buy plastic bags. But there are organizations that collect plastic bags and they make stuff out of them. So you know, for homeless?
Yes.
They make their sleeping mats out of the plastic bags.
I've seen that.
I mean, in that sense, yes. But then we need to educate the end user on what to do with those things as well.
So, Kerry, I'm going to throw this at you.
That's fine. Throw me with things.
That plastic lands up somewhere eventually.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
So imagine if the homeless beds were made out of material bags that you were sick, that you were tired of using because you wanted a new material bag.
That would be a lot better.
If you go to the shop, our consumer buyer behavior has changed.
Yes, it has.
My parents used to go to the shop once a month.
Mm-hmm.
They would go to their big grocery store.
Yes.
And they would fill up a trolley with all the things that we needed in the house. And we would live off that for the month.
Yeah.
That was a plan.
Same as us.
We don't do that anymore. Now people go to the shop daily, weekly, whatever you feel.
Yeah.
But if you keep, I'm going to say, 4 material bags in your car. 4.
Which I have as well.
Material bags cost you 12 Rand, 12 to 15 Rand a pop.
Mm.
You keep 4 of those. Let's say 15 Rand.
Yeah.
60 bucks for those material bags.
Yeah.
They will last you forever.
I know.
And you'll actually save in the long run because you won't be buying these damn plastic bags.
Every time you go shopping.
And you'll be saving the environment and you'll be supporting environmentally friendly causes and you'll be making a difference just by changing one behavior that you have. It's really that easy. And if the shops, and it's not if, the shops are doing it. So you either change your habits now or you're going to be left behind. And you're going to be that guy standing at the counter going, I just want plastic bags, man.
It's true.
When everybody's moved on to either paper bags or material.
But there's actually a country that it's illegal.
Good.
It's illegal to have plastic. Good.
I'm not against plastic. I think plastic has got a place in the world.
It really does. But like
my Tupperware. Yes. Tupperware I love. I can use it. I can store food. I can take my lunch to work. There's things that I can do.
Mm.
But when it comes to plastic bags, no, man. No, there's better ways.
Yes, you're quite right. And straws.
So we're going to put that story up online because it's also got stats. That story's got stats about why it's a problem. I don't want to read them to you. I want you to read them. I want you to read them to your kids. I want you to talk about it. We're moving on to the next story, which is our number one.
Yes. Hero caught on camera risking his life to save an elderly woman during the Durban storm.
Look for the helpers. He has a helper.
Nicole Alicia was sitting in her car waiting out the flood when she noticed a man walking through the flooded street to help an elderly lady from her car.
So the car was literally like half sinking, half floating.
It's literally it's going down. Like that car is literally that car would have been flooded in a very short space of time. And also when we had the last floods, they were actually trying to educate people on how to get out of your vehicle because it's more dangerous to be in it than outside.
Completely. But before we get to that, I'm going to give another tip. I'm full of tips today.
Do it.
So interesting fact, when you're driving, your driver's seat has got a headrest behind you. Mm. That headrest.
Yes.
That headrest is made, so if you're ever stuck in a car, guys, if you're ever in this situation where it's flooding, you've driven into a river, something's not going right, you're panicked, you're scared, you don't know what to do, your headrest can clip out, and that headrest has got two pointed bits that if you hit your window, it will break it from the inside.
Really? That is amazing.
Cars are made like that. That's a safety feature.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Thank you.
Now you do. But this elderly woman didn't. Yes. And this good Samaritan, this hero, jumped out of his car, swam to her, broke the window, got her out, got her to safety. And the whole thing was caught on a quick flash of a camera phone. And they didn't know who he was. No one knew who he was.
No.
So Good Things Guy featured the story. We broke the story. And because of it, we connected with the elderly woman's son, who lives in Joburg, and her son then shared the story. It got shared tens of thousands of times, and we actually found the hero. We found the hero. How absolutely phenomenal.
I think I'm going to get a little bit emotional now. Actually.
Don't get emotional. Don't be emotional. There's no reason to be emotional.
But it's amazing. It's exciting.
It's an exciting story.
And now what?
We're going to put that story up online. That guy actually got rewarded from Super Spa, from Spa. They sent him a nice little package. And the gent's son, no? How do we go? The elderly lady's son.
Yes.
Also gave him a reward, which is phenomenal. We're going to put all of those stories up online and the follow-up stories so that you can catch up with them and find the good news. When we get back, we're going to be speaking to the gent who created an app for cooking and to match people for the love of cooking.
Really?
How exciting. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central.
Is there sound coming on?
Let me start you just when I call action, be looking this way, and then you can go.
And action sound.
Welcome back to The Good Stuff. Hanging out with you today. It's a good Tuesday. It's a good day. We've got Stembiso and... I'm going to just say Ref.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ref.
It's okay.
We got Stembiso and Stembiso's fan, if I say it like that.
Yeah.
Stembiso and Ref join us in studio to chat about an app that they're involved in that connects people who love cooking to supply customers. It's like an Uber for people who love cooking. That's what I'm going to call it, an Uber for people who love cooking. Welcome to The Good Stuff, guys. It's good to have you here. Tell me a little bit more about the app. What is it?
Well, firstly, it's called Gaulas, right?
And, it's called?
Gaulas.
Okay.
Which means food.
Yeah, yeah. It translates to food in local slang. It's a local term.
It's local vernac.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a private chef in your pocket. So, basically, yeah. And
I like that. A private chef in your pocket.
Exactly, yeah. And the aim is to bring you good food, you know, when you're tired of the usual, you know, you're tired of, you don't want a burger or
mac and cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want a bit more. That's what we're trying to bring you. We're trying to bring you good quality food.
And that's absolutely, we started off the show by talking about how society has changed, that they're starting to care about what they eat.
Exactly.
We're starting to care about what we put into our bodies. Yeah. And this app would match you to a chef in your pocket.
And I think also culturally, we're starting to, experience other cultures more.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing because this sounds like it could be the...
It is a gateway to get
the
there.
Gateway
it's the gateway to drug to good food.
Yeah, and also, it allows for chefs to basically just write down their recipes and submit them. And then we take those recipes and train chefs. So they can...
Whoa. Let's back up a little bit. Whose idea was this?
It was Stembiso's.
Stembiso, it was your idea?
Yeah.
Were you involved with cooking before? Where does your love for food come? Or are you just a foodie? You're a foodie?
You know what the crazy thing is? I cannot cook to save my life. But I sort of believe...
And that's why.
Yeah. And so I feel like I need this app more than anyone in the whole world, right? And it's something that I felt that it's really needed. Because at some point, I remember going through a whole month and I didn't even cook once, you know. And it would really make such
instant
a
instant noodles.
Who?
Exactly. That's so me.
So you're not great at cooking. Are you good at app development?
No, I'm the one.
So that's why Rick is. Yeah, he's the app developer. So you had the idea, you contacted him, you guys built the app together, and is the app live right now?
No, not yet.
So this is startup phase. We're in the startup phase. You guys have got this great idea. Yeah. It's going out on radio, so I hope you've signed something so that no one else can steal it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you guys from?
Well, I'm from Springs, and Ref is from Tembisa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we met in Melville, UJ.
I'm first year, 2015.
I was wondering if you met in Melville bars or in Melville's...
roommates first year.
So what did you study?
I'm doing psychology, even right now. We're still students.
You're still students?
Yeah.
No, man. So we say it often on the show that it's the youth of South Africa that are going to make a difference. Yeah. And sitting across from you right now, I can see that. How old are you, Stembiso?
21.
You're 21 and you've got this idea to create this app. This is an inspirational story because you guys, you're a startup.
I'm feeling this passion and ambition and it's fresh and I'm like, it's giving me inspiration.
That's really phenomenal.
You know what we sort of realized? I personally believe that... regulation is the enemy of innovation, and so a lot of the time, you know, young people, we were against regulation, and that's how innovation comes about. You know what I mean?
It is because
it's a millennial thing.
It's a complete millennial thing, and it's you're not in a box.
Exactly.
So you have the power to be whatever you want to be. You have the power to create change. You have the power to come up with an idea. And more importantly, you have the power to action it. How did you get into coding and learning how to do apps? And to, I mean, I'm all about apps. I download apps like all the time, but I've never even thought about developing one.
Yeah. Basically, you know, in matric, you usually just go to school. You don't really... know what you're going to do with your life afterwards. So I just went to UJ, I applied for computer sciences, I got accepted, I went there, and then I pushed. That's when I developed passion. I didn't really have passion before. And then during that path, I somehow developed passion for entrepreneurship, and then that's how we actually started to push. Because we've been attending a lot of events, Startup Grind, for example, entrepreneurial events. That's where we actually met Gareth Cliff.
Gareth, he put us together and he said, you have to be on the show. We have to talk about this.
Amazing. So then in terms of, okay, it's not cheap to start, to have a startup or to start something technology-based.
Yeah. True.
Because that in itself is, are you guys, do you have funding? Do you have investors? Are you looking for that?
I think the crazy thing is when you want to learn something, right, a lot of the time you learn what you want to learn, right?
Yeah.
And when we started, that was the first problem. And we realized that so many entrepreneurs come across that problem. And so I remember watching a seminar, I think, or I think it must have been Startup Grind, a TechCrunch interview or something. And then they were talking exactly about that, about how funding stops entrepreneurs from getting what
definitely
they want.
Definitely, yes.
And so I started researching so much on this topic, and I came across someone called Peter Sage, by the name of Peter Sage.
Yes, Peter Sage. Yeah.
You know him?
Yes.
That's cool. And he said something pretty, that kind of changed my view on the whole topic altogether. He said that there's never such a thing as a lack of resources, just a lack of resourcefulness. And
I love that. Yeah, you're like an Oprah for the millennials. You're full of these little quotes. Like, after the show, we've got to make memes with everything that you've said.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it changed my whole perception on the whole funding thing. And every time now we come across a problem where we need funding, I always just try to look at it in a
different
way.
Overcome it.
Yeah. And we've actually managed to get so far just with that.
With the two of you and what you
have. So the
five of us, right?
The question is, how far are you, right? So we've come up with the idea. Yeah. We've started the implementation of building an app.
Yeah, we have a prototype.
You have a prototype.
Yeah.
What's next? What's the next step?
Right now we're looking for chefs, actually. We're looking for what we call Gaulas ground chefs, right? And these are the people that are going to be bringing the food to the customers, right? These are going to be the Uber drivers. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Exactly.
So if we take a step back, I want to understand. I'm sitting on my couch. Yeah. It's 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. I log onto the app. Exactly. There's a couple of menus that I can scroll through, or do I look at chefs?
On the first step, you basically there's different thing. What do you call?
Okay.
Just explain. Just go ahead.
Okay, so as you log onto the app, right, and the first thing that would come onto your screen is a. The app would ask you what you love to eat, what type of food you love. Would you like something spicy, something sweet, you know? Yeah. Exactly. And then after that, a menu would be generated according to what you like. So it wouldn't show you all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's like specific. Like, what are you in the mood for? Well, I want something spicy, something meaty, and I'd like it to be Italian. And then all of a sudden, this menu would come up that would go fillet, chili pesto, pasta.
Yeah.
Guys, this is genius. I'm sorry.
Okay, but so now I've got the food, and now I'm hungry. My stomach's rumbling, and I know what I should have because that's what. How do I get it?
Okay, so what happens is you place your order, right? And as you're placing your order, firstly, We want to make it as convenient as possible. So you place your order and let's say you're chilling with your friends or something. You'd have the option of splitting the bill with
you. Like an Uber.
Exactly. So then the order would be sent to a Gaulas ground chef. Like we said, a trained individual who can, prepare your food. And then that person would then receive the order, fill the order from their kitchen. And we've got regulation procedures to make sure that the food is good quality. And I don't know if we should talk about it yet.
Don't. If it's not meant to be talked about, don't talk about it. But in my mind, the way you're explaining it, Kerry's worked in restaurants. I've worked in restaurants. It's it's almost like you're in a restaurant. Because when you're in a restaurant, you order.
Yeah.
And then the waiter puts through the order.
Yeah.
And then the slip goes to the chef.
Exactly.
And then the food comes out and the waiter will bring the food to you. So do you have a waiter in the middle? Is there someone who's going to drive the food from the chef to...
So basically, the chefs are going to have apartments, are going to be people who stay in different apartments, right? So let's just say you're ordering food. After ordering within the same complex, you're going to get a chef, just like Uber.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to get a chef. And then that chef basically has a car. It will be one of the requirements for now.
Yeah, and then they'll need to deliver that food as well. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
At the moment, we're trying to launch in apartment complexes to make things as convenient and as simple as possible. Because the most important thing is just to make sure that the complete experience is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a good flow.
And exactly, it's also like it's homey.
Yeah,
it's homely because I mean, you could be receiving something that tastes like what your grandmother used to cook. Like, it's amazing. You're getting home cooked but restaurant quality food. I think it's amazing.
What I love, I mean, we spoke about being innovative, and you guys definitely are. Entrepreneurial, you definitely are. But the fact that you are actioning something and that you're creating that you've gone, let's do something, and you're actually doing it. There's no, you're not leaving it for someone else to do, or, you know, here's an idea. Oh, great idea. Let's talk about it. Never do anything. You guys are doing something. And that's what this country needs more of. It needs more people that are willing to get up and do something. I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Can't believe you're 21.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think with the whole getting up and doing things, I think it's just, that's just the number one problem of so many people. I mean, I really believe that everyone has just amazing ideas, and that the only problem is just that we don't really make them come true. You know what I mean? And honestly, Ref is the one that always pushes me to make ideas come. Like, I'm the guy that thinks about things like 6 times, and by the 5th time, I'm already like doubtful. You know what I mean? And he's nah, let's do it now. Let's just get up and do it now. So yeah, that's actually a big thing for us as well.
So one of the things that I've learned in business and with business leaders, and I'm sure we'll talk in 2 or 3 years, and you guys will have some sort of business, whether together or apart, because you both have that passion and that drive. But one of the things that I've learned along the route is most business leaders, entrepreneurial, they think really, really big. So if I have to put that into an idea, their ideas become balloons. Okay? Work with me. I'm going somewhere. They become balloons, and they've got all these balloons above them, and they're like, there's an idea. And then there's like 20, 30, 40, 50 balloons, however many ideas are there. Within the organization, they need people underneath them that go, that's not going to work. That's a great idea, but as a scientific, strategic person, that won't be able to be implemented. Pop that balloon until you start finding the nuggets that will work. And I think you guys as a team are doing that. You're finding the nuggets that will work. You guys are implementing it and actioning it. And I'm excited to be promoting it. I think that the entrepreneurial spirit is absolutely phenomenal. And it really is just something to be commended.
Proud of,
For sure. We're going to put all of these details up online. So if you've got a crowdfunding page, or if you've got something that people can try and get involved in, I am going to put my stamp of approval on this. I think that people should need to get involved. We need to be working with the spirit of entrepreneurs and helping you guys, because ultimately you're going to be hiring people to work within your organizations. It's job creation. And I think that's flipping cool. Thank you for being on the show today, guys.
Thank you very much.
Really, really cool. Kerry, I can't believe the hour's gone.
Neither can I.
Don't know where it went. I'm not even sure. But I do want to leave our listeners with this, and I think it fits in perfectly with you guys. Never stop believing in the wild possibility that is you and your impact. Live in purpose. On purpose. I'm going to leave you guys with that. That's the good stuff for this week. All of the links, all of the details, all of the stories, everything that we've been talking about will go online. I'm actually in Abu Dhabi, so I'm going to speak to you later.
Have a good time.
Over and out.
This is CliffCentral.com.